session number 22346, reel 8.
Captain Riggs, reel 8. I think you were saying that you managed to get the beer for the rifle companies after the Brigadier nearly shot me,
yes. Well, we were there, we're into December now, and we were there pretty well up towards Christmas time, and really it was quite quiet then. The main battle had gone westwards. Mm-hmm. And one had a chance of moving about a bit. We got the odd vehicle, and so I had my next experience with a landmine. We had a sapper officer with us at our battalion headquarters, and he and I decided we wanted to go up and have a look around up on Sidi Rezegh, which is where the main big battle had taken place. And, you know, there were vehicles and tanks and guns and ironmongery blown up and bashed up all over the place. But every now and then we could find a dump or two, and we had a look in there to see what there was to be scrounged. One of the things that we found worth having was a thing called Keating's powder.
What was that?
Now, Keating's powder was an anti-flea powder. Well, we'd lived with fleas since we went in October. Fleas and the little desert rat, the Jaboa, was all right. The fleas were a bit of a nuisance. And we had, in the fixed positions around the perimeter, of course, there were a few rats and what have you from time to time, and they weren't very pleasant. So when we found this, we said, that's wonderful. And we picked up a few cans of anything to eat was worth having, putting it mildly.
Was that German rations as well as British?
There was German rations. There were also bits of British rations, you know, boxes that had been bust open. There was a can of this and a can of that. And I can't.
What were the German rations like?
Well, sauerkraut and a lot of black bread they had.
Yes.
But anyway, it was different, and it was more, which was always what we wanted. We were always hungry. And so we scooped up a whole lot of this. Again, we were in a pickup, 1,500 weight truck. But on the way back, we cut a corner. I wasn't paying much attention. I like to say I wasn't actually navigating this time. But anyway, we cut a corner.
Were you driving?
Well, we had a driver. I can't remember who it was. But I was in. There were three of us in the front. There was a driver. I was in the middle, and the sapper officer was beside me. And we went over one of our mines this time. And we were right in front of a company of the Essex, who I mentioned earlier on had a very, very bad time and beaten up. Well, out came a company commander that, who are you, and all the rest of it. And what I didn't realize, I don't know how we got back. We found another vehicle or something. They were lying about all over the place. Anyway, we got back to the battalion. And I didn't think much more about it. Nobody was hurt on this occasion because we were in a more substantial vehicle, and the mine, whatever it did, front wheel, I think, just blew the wheel off. And anyway, we got back, and I didn't think of any more about it. But the brigadier came out again with Freddie Graham, the brigade major, came out to see us once more, and he said, look, I must spend a bit more time with you guys this time, and I must meet all the people in the battalion headquarters, and I go out to one or two of the companies as well. And so he was going along the line, Freddie Graham behind him, of course, his brigade major, and our CO said, this is Riggs, the signal officer. And he turned to Freddie Graham and he said, Riggs, wasn't there something about a court-martial? I nearly fell through the floor. I thought, well, we hadn't done quite so badly one way or another, you know, in the preceding few weeks. God, you know. And I nearly fell over. And he said, oh, yes. Freddie Graham said, well, yes, but I think we lost the paper, sir, didn't we? And he said, yes, I think we did. And then he moved on to the next one. The next time I could collar Freddie Graham on his own, I said, what the hell was all that about, you know? And he said, well, you ran onto the Essex minefield up on Enduda. So I said, yeah, that's right, but it wasn't the first time. It was nothing particularly unusual about it.
Yeah.
And he said, well, what happened was this company commander, and mark you, they'd had a tremendous bashing up there, more than we ever had to suffer in the Bedfords on that particular campaign. He said, this guy shouldn't have been here at all. What the hell does he think he's doing running onto my minefield and so on? And he reported me down to his battalion commander, a man called Walker. And that went on to their brigade, 16 Brigade, 23 Brigade headquarters. And the brigade major was one BTV Cowie. Now, that's a name you'd know about, wouldn't you? Bun Cowie, Brigadier, laterally. Now, Bun Cowie was Welsh regiment, and he was playing rugger for Wales when he was still at Sandhurst. He was a Channel Islander, actually, but the Welsh didn't worry about that too much when he was so good at rugger, and he joined the Welsh regiment in about the mid-1930s. So, okay, you know, whatever the paperwork was, there was a sort of statement or whatever of my misdeeds. And he just handed it over to his opposite number in our brigade. It was Freddie Graham. And I think he and the brigadier sort of said, well, God, for God's sake, you know, I think we better lose this, shouldn't we, sir, you know? And I think the brigadier said, oh, yes, for God's sake, get rid of it. We don't want any of that sort of nonsense going on. And so it never happened. But if you're going to go over a mine, be careful you do it in the right way, in the right place, I suppose.
With the right people.
There was a bigger bang, because it was one of our British Mark I mines, which was had rather more explosive in it. The first one I went over was an Italian coffin mine, so-called, which was the long, thin one.
Yes.
With a wire on a spring, you know, and a guillotine. As you depress the lid, it cut the wire and it fired the charge. So, but mines were always doing strange things. We had one other very near that occasion. On one night, there was one almighty explosion about a quarter of a mile away behind our lines, as a matter of fact, or where we were situated at the bottom of this escarpment. And one of our supply drivers from our rear echelon had come up or on his way back, and he'd gone over one of these Italian mines. But this minefield had been laid by the Italians long ago, and they're all laid too close together. And so he blew the whole minefield, not just one mine. Now, of course, it produced one huge great bang, and force headquarters and the division and everyone, what the hell was that? What's going on? It should have been, you know, when we were, everything was supposed to be quiet by then. And so we said, well, we've no idea. We spirited this guy out, shoved him into one of our rifle companies and left it like that.
Well, he was all right then, was he?
He was all right, yes. Yes, so it must have gone over the very end mine of the whole
row.
Minefield. And he had a bigger truck anyway. He was probably a 30-hundred-weight lorry. And so he was all right. we got him out of sight pretty quickly. But there were all sorts of chaotic things like that going on.
When this was going on, you said you'd gone quiet. Were you aware that there were any enemy in the vicinity, or had they all gone?
No, there weren't any. I mean, I think we would have known had there been any. There was no, we heard no shot, no gunfire, nothing.
Siege had been raised.
And the big battle was up on the top.
Yes.
And everyone did know, you know, from reports we were by this time getting up from force headquarters and from brigade. That the battle had gone, because it was absolutely quiet up there.
Yes.
And we were just waiting to be told what to do next. Mm. And so we were there. We were there over Christmas. And one of our guys in our RASC column came up, and he gave me a beautiful Christmas present, which was a can of Brussels sprouts, which is rather nice. I've had worse Christmas presents in my time. But we stuck around. We had a nasty job to do because they asked for volunteers to come and help to clean up the battlefield up on Sidi Rezegh, mm-hmm. where there are a lot of casualties up there. But in the end, we were taken back to Egypt in huge American trucks. You get almost a whole platoon into the back of one of these trucks. And we took 2 days or 3 days or something like that, going across like naval convoys right across the desert. No armored escort, as far as I remember, through the wire and into, guess where? Kassassin. For a bit. Mm. But the guys were all given leave in Alex and Cairo straight away.
What was the strength like at that stage when you came back from Tobruk? What numbers were there in the battalion? Do you know?
I couldn't. We didn't take an awful lot of casualties. We were luckier than some. And we weren't devastated like the Black Watch were. Mm. And the Essex lost a lot of guys because at one stage in the battle, the Essex were bombed by something like 20 of our own bombers in formation up on Ed Duda, which wiped out 2/3 of their carriers and one of their rifle companies are virtually written out completely. We just happened. We didn't hit it as hard as some did. Just the way it happened. Yeah. And so they took us back into Egypt. And as I say, we went to Kassassin. Everybody was sent off on leave. And this is where I was sent for by the CO, and he said, you're going off to do a 6-month tour as an instructor at the Middle East OCTU in Cairo. I said, okay, sir. I don't know how much tape you've got left there, but it might be a place to stop, do you think, or not? Or do you want to go on a bit more?